Alex Jones.
How would you describe him?
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His reins are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified. Yeah.
Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose. Oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is to unlock.
Information war.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The disciplined, ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but what do you do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling him
one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars.
Everybody wants to know, will he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good.
I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
So no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content? It is
the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
They're going to remember Alex Jones. They're going to remember InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on The War Room with live stream firing on X and Band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, this is The War Room, and I am your host, Harrison Smith. Thank you so much to Rob Dew for sitting in for the first hour on late notice. I have a good excuse, though. I have a very good excuse. I have a doctor's note and everything. See, what happened was yesterday, doing some yard work, and I woke up this morning covered in poison ivy rashes, and I'm like insanely allergic to poison ivy. So spent the morning in various and frankly frustrating urgent care clinics, just desperately trying to get a shot of steroids, because if you poison ivy is one of these weird things where the more you get it, the worse it gets. And so I've had it so much in my life that now if I get it, I will like literally die. So the thing is, my excuse, though, is that poison ivy is supposed to be a hot weather thing, right? It only really comes around in the summer. I wasn't even thinking about it because it was all supposed to die during the winter. So I guess, long story short, it's climate change. Obviously, climate change is the reason I was late to the show today, so you can't blame me. You do have to pay the government a bunch of money, and next time I'll be on time. Okay, that's how this works, and that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. So, yeah, thank you very much for Rob Dew for filling in for me for this hour. And, of course, that is the beauty of InfoWars. When one of us has problems, when one of us is an idiot and gets himself covered in poison ivy, then there's somebody else that can fill in. And, of course, it's take it down. Take it down to me. Actually, wait, leave it up. This is what you people need to know. Avoid this stuff like the plague. Gets worse and worse every time you get it. I was attacked. I was attacked by a plant, and that's why I had to be here. But, you know, it's not a small thing, this system that we have in the various forms of, you know, fallback measures. Poison ivy is a native Texas plant. Oh, I know. No, I'm very aware. And actually, deer eat poison ivy, so the bigger the deer population, the lower the poison ivy population. Also, if it's burned, it creates a choking smoke that can be used, you know, if you're, I don't know, in some sort of Civil War scenario, you should know these types of things. I also had a science teacher in high school who was not allergic, but his family was, and so he deliberately kept one of his sheds covered in poison ivy because then he was the only one that could go in it. Anyway, I'm rambling, but there's a lot of big news happening today. Still I feel like we've just been teetering on the edge. My nemesis there. I am Batman, after all. Teetering on the edge of all-out war with Iran, of course, is still not exactly explained to any great degree. But the U.S. obviously is evacuating some embassy staff, with the ambassador Mike Huckabee telling everybody in, all the Americans in Israel, get out while you can, which is a little bit terrifying. And that, of course, is sort of a major topic of conversation today. But the good news about my inability to actually prepare for the show today means that I get to go back over the last week of stories that I haven't had a chance to get to, because every day, despite having 3 hours to report the news, you would think that would be enough to make a dent, but it's not usually. And I'll get these stories and it's like a one-off story, and I don't quite have the time to just fit it in with all the other coverage, but they stack up, they build up, and then eventually they reach critical mass, and it's time to report them all to you. And so we'll do that here. And this week, there's been a number of stories or a number of events of left-wing attacks, left-wing violence. And it's just one of these things that it just kind of quietly occurs. It just kind of is happening in the background. And this is our fault, really. And it's the mainstream media's fault. We've talked about it over and over. I don't need to, you know, relitigate it. But the idea that the media can determine whether or not things are perceived as patterns, perceived as trends, perceived as a phenomenon that has to be dealt with, or if all of these various events are treated as individual instances with no connection to any other ones, and there's certainly no trend to notice. It's just one crazy guy and another crazy guy. Nothing to, you know, nothing between them. And so they're very, very good at this. And so they will report on these events. They just don't connect the dots, and they don't portray it as, oh, look, yet another example of leftist violence, transgender violence, whatever it is. It'll just be quietly, you know, okay, this event happened over here, and that was pretty bad, but, you know, let's not read too much into it. And also, this thing happened over here, and, okay, they're kind of similar, but still, you know, let's not look too much into that. Well, we're going to draw those lines together. We're going to connect those dots and see if we can't identify what the hell is actually happening here. This one is sort of just went away. Like, there's so many stories now that, like, it's almost like they test them, and then if it doesn't catch on, they just sort of pretend it didn't happen. Do you remember, like, 2 weeks ago? The story is, supposedly, according to the mainstream media, supposedly, about 2 weeks ago, if my memory serves me correctly, Ilhan Omar was viciously attacked with a chemical weapon at one of her events by a deranged Trump supporter. You remember how they tried to get that narrative going? What happened to that? Where'd that go? That was a story for about 20 minutes until everybody noticed this is utterly fake. There's no way this is real. This must be staged. But that's not where the story should end. No, now the story should take on a new shape of investigating Ilhan Omar and figuring out who helped her plan this scam attack, this fake attack that was obviously designed to distract from the scandal that she's in with all of her many millions of dollars illegitimately gained from the U.S. taxpayers. On the eve that it's discovered that she has, like, these companies that don't actually exist and tens of millions of dollars that she's never actually earned sitting in her bank account, all of a sudden she's attacked by a Trump supporter, and then, like, 2 days later it's just out of the news. It's because it was fake. It's because it wasn't real. It's because it was planned and probably plotted by her. So that needs to be the story now. This shouldn't go away. This should become a giant scandal where Ilhan Omar is hounded and demanded that she answer how long she's known this guy and, you know, how aware she was of exactly what the plot contained. Because you remember, I mean, it didn't take a genius. It didn't take somebody with insider knowledge. It didn't take some massive investigation. Just basic observation of the event should have led anybody to the conclusion that, yeah, this was entirely fraudulent, totally fake. But that's just sort of gone away. It's just sort of, you know, was there, and they tried it, you know. They gave it a push. Oh, you got attacked by a Trump supporter. Do you believe us? And I was like, no. And they're like, okay, never mind then. Never mind. I mean, if we'd believed it, if it had been more convincing, it would still be a thing. They'd be writing laws about it. She would be, you know, crying on The View or whatever. But it didn't work. So they just sort of let it go, let it fall to the wayside. Similar sort of story with an armed guy trying to sneak into Mar-a-Lago to kill the president and being shot dead by the Secret Service. Remember how that just sort of went away? That sort of cropped up and then disappeared. It's like, that, okay, what? That is a giant deal, actually. Bizarre texts reveal gun-wielding man, 21, who broke into Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, quote, was obsessed with the Epstein files. Yeah, he was obsessed with the stochastic terrorism of the left, claiming that Donald Trump is the only one in the Epstein files, and that it's all his fault, and that you should do something about it. And he goes to do something about it, ends up getting his ass killed because he pointed a shotgun at police. But that's just, so that one didn't work. So it's, again, sort of an instance of, like, all right, well, it is leftist violence. It was sort of a assassination attempt. It just didn't work. It didn't get very far. Trump wasn't even there. But they still tried. But they did still try, you know. And so I'm going to go ahead and put that in the, you know, column of leftist terror, right-wing, anti-Trump terror attacks. Yeah, that's one of them. Doesn't mean, you know, that nobody has to die for it to be real. And the guy is, you know, carrying explosives and a shotgun and trying to break into Mar-a-Lago and gets killed for it. So that happened. When did that? 23rd. The 23rd of February. That was Tuesday, wasn't it? Do we even remember? Like, I'd forgotten about it until I saw it again. But yeah, remember that happened? Somebody tried to kill the president on Tuesday. Suspect in ramming vehicle ramming stolen ambulance into Idaho DHS building has been identified as an LGBTQ activist. An Idaho woman has been taken into custody and charged in connection with an alleged attempt to burn down a Department of Homeland Security facility after crashing an ambulance into the structure, police have said. Sarah Elizabeth George, 43, of Boise, is accused of stealing an ambulance parked outside St. Luke's Meridian late on February 18th and running it into a DHS building. According to federal criminal complaints, George allegedly drove the emergency vehicle into the entrance of the Portico North building around 11 p.m., spread gasoline throughout the lobby in an attempt to set it on fire, and then fled the area on foot. And it's just like, why wasn't this a national story? What, like, can you imagine if it was the other way around? Can you imagine if some radical MAGA person stole an ambulance and drove it into a Planned Parenthood and tried to set it on fire? It would, again, be stories for a week. Like, why don't conservatives talk about this stuff? Why don't they, like, write laws about this? Why don't they keep note of these and keep track of these and notice that there is an alarming trend of, like, every day some radical leftist going insane and either killing their family or trying to kill Trump or killing a bunch of people at a, you know, ice skating rink in Canada. The transgender crime wave continues unnoticed, apparently, except for people like us. Like, where are the Republicans out there giving speeches going, there is a dangerous trend of leftist violence that's only getting worse and we have to do something about this? Because you have to do something about it, you understand? They're only getting more extreme. It's only happening on a more regular basis, these attacks. I mean, this one, it's like straight up out of a, I don't know, Twilight Zone episode or like, I don't know, old sci-fi movie where somebody catches some sort of interstellar brain worm that makes them go insane. I mean, what is a 43-year-old, like, you've got a middle-aged white woman from Boise, Idaho, acting like a Grand Theft Auto character all of the sudden? She's stealing ambulances and crashing into buildings and lighting on fire, and she's just doing it like no mask, no nothing. She just like thinks she can get away with it, and she gets arrested, and I'm sure she'll be let out. She'll probably do it again. Again, it happens so often, and we don't keep track of it or make it a big deal, so it just sort of falls to the side, and you never get the feeling that you should of all these things stacking up on top of each other, of the momentum getting bigger and bigger and stronger, like the snowball rolling down the hill. I mean, these things are only getting worse. And I'm not even sure if this is the woman that was on the video, because there was a video over the weekend of another woman just like really casually trying to like set a building on fire. She's wearing like nice clothes. She's just, you know, again, another middle-aged white woman just being like, I think I'll do some arson today. I think I'm a freedom fighter and I'll go burn down a federal building. And it's just like, what is happening? What is wrong with you people? It's crazy. It's completely crazy. Okay, so this week we've had somebody try to kill Donald Trump. We had another woman slam an ambulance into a federal office building and try to burn it down. NGO Andy Ngo reports Texas targets Houston Antifa cell in terror probe. Yeah, it's like this stuff, you know, it's just like, you know, post-millennial reports on it. And it just sort of goes away. It's from the 24th of February. Hey, maybe we should make a bigger deal out of this. I mean, it's just sort of strange, isn't it, that there's nothing like this from the right wing. You don't have daily examples of the right wing committing arson or killing people or attacking people or having domestic terror cells in major U.S. cities. And yet the Democrats and the mainstream media are constantly running with the narrative that the right wing is dangerous, the right wing are terrorists. And it just makes less than no sense. It would be unfair or unequal or nonsensical if we were both doing this, but only the right wing it was reported on. But that's not the case. No, nobody reports on the left wing violence. Nobody seems to notice the left wing violence. It goes totally unaddressed, even though it's festering like a cancer in every city in this country. And the right wing constantly gets called domestic terrorists, even though we have nothing like this at all, ever, like even remotely. A Houston area Antifa cell is under civil and criminal investigation by the Texas Attorney General for possible involvement in aiding terrorism and doxing targets. The Screwston Anti-Fascist Committee, which calls itself an organization, maintains a large online presence where it spreads radical propaganda, targets private citizens and law enforcement officers, sells merchandise to bankroll its activities. Radical leftists have engaged in coordinated efforts to militarily attack our nation and undermine the rule of law, Attorney General Ken Paxton, a Republican, said in a statement earlier this month. Screwston and related groups have illegally doxed Texans and encouraged violent terrorism against fellow citizens. These deranged traitors will face the full force of law. No stone will be left unturned and no tool will be left unused. So at least one person, Ken Paxton, who's running against, what's his name, to be Senate? Chip Roy. He's running against Chip Roy. Paxton would definitely be the better choice. Although, I don't know who's gonna replace him as Attorney General, because he's been pretty unparalleled in that position so far. That's another one. I mean, I have a lot of these. I have a hell of a lot of these. 30 more people arrested after superseding indictment returned in Don Lemon, Minnesota church storming case. So another example of the leftist terror, in this case, actually being addressed. But again, only because it had a prominent person involved, the Don Lemon. It became a big scandal. If they just hadn't filmed it, if they hadn't filmed themselves doing this, probably wouldn't have even heard about it. They certainly would not be arrested. If they had instead just chosen to go, hey, Don Lemon, go somewhere else. Don't film us. But we're going to go in here and terrorize these churchgoers. It probably wouldn't have gone anywhere. But so in a way, they're almost caught by their own overconfidence, where they're just like, yeah, hell yeah, film us doing this. Film us committing terrorism. It's fine. We'll be fine about it. They love it. The authorities love when we do this sort of stuff, so they won't, you know, get in our way. They should have been a little bit more careful there. And I got a lot more. I mean, the problem is I can't even remember all these. I know there's like four more from this week alone of this type of stuff. And it really just goes on and on, and nothing is being done to address it. I do have some, again, interesting news from this week that I never actually got to. Things like this. I'm not sure how accurate this really is, but it is interesting. From Will Hild on X, BlackRock is in major trouble. Today, a seismic shift has happened in the antitrust case brought against the ESG asset manager cartel of BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. Vanguard is admitting defeat, agreeing to settle the lawsuit brought by a coalition of state attorneys general led by Ken Paxton. As part of the settlement, they will pay $30 million in fines, turn over all documents related to their coordinated ESG activism, end all ESG activism for years to come. This is a massive win. The reckoning is here. The settlement with Vanguard is a major blow to the ESG asset manager cartel that has set the stage for more to come. The attorney general sought and got long overdue accountability and a massive course correction from Vanguard. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink should be extremely worried about what could be uncovered next and who's going to fold next. If State Street folds and admits defeat as well, he will be left on an island all on his own. And yet, this is what should be happening. This, again, should have happened a long time ago. It's ridiculous that something like ESG was ever allowed to be perpetuated, because it is just obviously against the law in any number of ways. It violates the Civil Rights Act, because you're judging people and hiring people on the basis of their race. It violates the duty that companies have to their shareholders to maximize their returns rather than use their money to achieve social ends. It has all of the elements of a monopoly or a trust, in which companies are not given the option whether or not they want to participate, but are told you have to participate or else you won't get access to the monopolistic control of the market that these companies enjoy. So a small victory, but a good one, and one that needs to be maximized and repeated and done over and over until BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard and all of their subsidiaries and associates are all held to account for the various, numerous laws and morals that they break on a continual basis. And it really does just go on and on. And I also want to talk about, this is another thing that, again, I haven't talked about too much, because each little instance maybe isn't worth a full segment or whatever on its own, but when you combine them all, you get a very disturbing set of circumstances. And This has to do with anti-Semitism and free speech and the method by which those things are being destroyed. Free speech being destroyed on the basis of so-called anti-Semitism. And of course, they're succeeding in this fairly wildly when it comes to the national level. But don't overlook the way that these things are being implemented on the local level. Jews are developing a police state in Florida. HB 945 creates a, quote, counterintelligence unit to spy on and arrest you for, quote, views or opinions they deem anti-Semitic. This is from the Patriotic Blonde at I'm Breck Worsham. This is the bill, section 943.0316, Florida statutes, created to read this. On subsection 2, they say, as used in this section, the term advisory intelligence entity includes, but is not limited to, any national, foreign, multinational, friendly competitor, opponent, adversary, or recognized enemy of the non-government or non-governmental organizations, companies, businesses, corporations, consortiums, groups, agency, cell, terrorist, insurgent, guerrilla entity, or person who demonstrated actions, views, or opinions are a threat or are inimical to the interest of the state and the United States of America. What does that mean? It elaborates. This unit shall identify, has created a domestic security task force established under this statute. The unit shall identify threats by analyzing patterns of life, gathering actionable intelligence, and formulating effective plans of action, and by executing arrests or by revealing its intent to compel a response using all counterintelligence and counterterrorism tradecraft necessary to protect the state from adversary intelligence entities. The unit may conduct direct action missions on its own against a threat or may incorporate with or into other units to counteract and stop identifiable threats. So again, the way this is being implemented is through incrementalism, right? First, it's, well, we just need hate crime, you know, enhancements on regular crime. And, you know, we've heard Randy Fine making this argument where he's going, it's already illegal to litter, but if you litter something that's anti-Semitic, 5 years in jail. And they're basically just ratcheting it up from there. So it'll be, well, it's, you know, it's not hate speech. There aren't hate speech laws, but there are hate speech enhancements for regular laws. And, well, we're not censoring you, but we will take anything you say as a threat, even if it's not a threat. We'll read a threat into it and then arrest you on that basis. And we'll even extradite you from different states to do that. Of course, that's what happened in with a person extradited out of Texas and into Florida. Proposal to create counterintelligence unit receives bipartisan pushback. Sponsor says he'll introduce amendment to address First Amendment concerns. But I mean, what do you mean First Amendment? No, they're destroying the First Amendment. That's the point. That is the only point. That's what they're doing. That's the only thing they're doing. So I don't know what concerns you would have that you'd be able to fix with this, like within this statute, because the whole statute is destroying the First Amendment. So if you want to say the First Amendment, you have to just not pass that statute, not have a counterintelligence unit that's spying on Floridians' private conversations so that they can charge you with hate crimes for speaking out against the genocidal, psychotic state of Israel. Ohio's doing it. New York is doing it. I'll bring you those stories on the other side. States throughout this union are quietly implementing anti-First Amendment, anti-Semitism laws that are the biggest threat to our speech as of now, because this isn't about getting kicked off the internet. This is about getting your ass arrested and thrown in jail for a decade for the words that you use. And it's happening. It's already happening.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke, fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted and get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it! It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
RFK Jr., a.k.a. Secretary of Health, is in Austin doing leg presses, I guess. Doing leg presses and going on Joe Rogan. He had a couple clips go viral from his Joe Rogan interview, and I want to go to a few of these now. First, let's go to this one about autism. This is RFK Jr. breaking down just the sheer scale of the autism scandemic. And so this is actually a great term for it. It is a scamdemic. It's a pandemic of scams. Here's RFK Jr. on the scamdemic of autism rates in the Somali community.
What is this going on for? Like, when did this fraud begin, do you believe?
It really accelerated during the Biden administration. We expected to pay for the Minnesota program just for autism care for kids with autism. The kids need the care because, you know, they go to maybe a special school, but then they come home from school and the parents aren't there because they're working. So who's going to take care of them? So in legitimate circumstances, you would want to pay for that. But what happened is they just started this wholesale fraud. We expected the cost of that program to be about $3 million a year in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. It got up in over a 3-year period, it got up to $400 million a year. So, it was all fraudulent, almost.
I just don't.
Again, it's like those are resources that were meant for people who have real problems. So, they're literally stealing from, disabled children. You have to understand. They're literally just stealing from disabled children because they figured out that you can just fake these types of disorders. And again, it's not about, it just always goes back to just having a system with vulnerabilities. And when those vulnerabilities get taken advantage of, the system has to go away. And it's the same thing across the board. You can't give people an opportunity to screw you over. And it sucks that we can't do that, but we just can't, right? It sort of reminds me of the conversation about, transgender bathrooms, where it's like, okay, not every transgender person is a rapist, obviously. They're not all pretending to be the wrong sex just to snoop on women. But when you tell everybody that anybody can go in the women's bathroom as long as they say they're a woman, then you are going to have some portion of the population that sees that as a green light to fake it, to get the rocks off. And you have to take that into account and make laws that go, hey, we can't just open this up because we're leaving our young women vulnerable. It's the same thing here, where it's like, it'd be nice to have, things to help kids with autism, especially if it's really severe. Parents absolutely need help with that. But it all gets stolen by Somalis. So I guess it has to go away now. I guess we have to have some method by which we determine whether or not the funds are going to people that deserve it or not. But he didn't just say that. He also talked about the decision about glyphosate that President Trump made earlier this week. That pissed off a lot of people that voted for him. RFK Jr., sort of justified it a little bit in a statement and said, I'm not happy about it, but, and we explained this at the time where, it is true that getting your necessary supplies, because the way our food supply chain works at this point, whether we like it or not, glyphosate has become deliberately, it's been made into a necessary component of our system. Not to say that we can't reform the system, it's just that takes a lot of work. And when you're talking about gigantic systems of millions of people that feed hundreds of millions of people, you got to secure it first and then try to remake it. So I get why he was making the justification, but he elaborated a little bit on Rogan yesterday. Here's RFK Jr. talking about the decision to create glyphosate here at home.
What was the recent ruling on glyphosate?
I was on an EO, which is an executive order. Right. From the president saying that we're going to make the ingredients for glyphosate in this country and for elemental phosphorus. And, I've spent 40 years fighting pesticides. It was, I was part of the trial team on the Monsanto case, which was the team that, we won 3 cases in a row and then got an $11 billion settlement with Monsanto, which is now Bayer. By the end of our trial, Bayer owned Monsanto. But, pesticides are poison. They're designed to kill all life. It's not a good thing to have in your food. So it's not something that I was particularly happy with, let me put it that way, mildly. But I also understand the president's point of view. The president didn't create this system. He's dealing with a problem that was created long before, over the past 60 years, when, through federal policies and subsidies and the management of farming in this country, the agricultural management, we have addicted our farmers to these pesticides, and particularly glyphosate. Glyphosate is the foundational pesticide of our food production system. So 97% of corn in this country is produced with glyphosate and can't be produced without it. 98% of, you could do it. You could change it. There's organic corn producers in this country. It's like 3%. 98% of soy is produced with glyphosate. If you ban glyphosate overnight, or if you got rid of it, or if somebody else cut off our supply, it would destroy the American food system.
Is that such a bad thing after all? Now, we'll get back into health because I have a few more health things to talk about, and it's all tied in together. But yes, our not just food system, but food system is just part of the overall holistic health system that is in absolute shambles right now and is just failing us in every regard. So we'll get back to that in just a second. But I do see that James Comer and the other Republicans who are questioning Bill Clinton have come out and are giving a press conference now. So I want to go to that live. And I imagine we'll be hearing from Bill Clinton himself if he does the same thing Hillary did. So they are now giving a press conference following the deposition of Bill Clinton, which lasted for hours today. Let's go to that live feed.
Well, our deposition of former President Clinton has concluded. I want to thank everyone for braving the cold and staying out here. I know it's been a very long day. We believe this was a very productive deposition. I will have to say that President Clinton answered every question or attempted to answer every question. We can talk about some of his answers in more detail. And I'm sure once the video is released and the transcript's released, not only will you, but a lot of people in America will have more questions about some of the answers that were given and where we go from here. But with respect to today, this was a long process, and I want to say this was historical. I believe that in the history of Congress, the two highest-ranked officials to ever be deposed by Congress would be President Bill Clinton and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. This is a serious investigation. We will continue to try to get the truth to the American people and justice for the victims. But I think a consistent theme continues to persist throughout all the people that we bring in. Obviously, the government failed the victims. There was justice was not served in Palm Beach when Epstein was first arrested. We're very concerned about that. We still have lots of questions about how Epstein accumulated so much wealth, and we will continue to bring some more people in and try to get answers. I'm going to yield to the other committee members, but every member of the committee participated both days and asked very good questions. Ms. Mays?
Yes, I want to thank President Clinton for being here today. He was here for a very long day. He did attempt to respond to every single question asked, even when his attorneys told him to shut up. He kept, you know, going. I think there's agreement, too, on everybody who was here on both sides of the aisle that we want to get to the bottom of this, whether Jeffrey Epstein was an intel asset or honeypot operation, sex trafficker, prostitution ringleader, you know, financier of Ponzi schemes, financial crimes, etc. There is an effort, I believe, and a belief that we need to get to the bottom of this because justice was not served in the Southern District of New York. It was not served in Palm Beach. And it certainly hasn't been served for many victims around the world who are victims of this operation. I want to thank my colleagues on both sides of the aisle for their questions today. Representative Stansberry had a lot of courageous questions. She showed bravery today. She and I never get along. Sometimes, in fact, can be seen arguing in oversight. But I say that because this is a place that is not partisan. This is a place where the country is seeing Republicans and Democrats work together to figure this out, find the truth, and try to come up with solutions so that when this happens, women are believed, men are prosecuted, their abuses are prosecuted, and justice can be seen and can be done. And I want to thank everyone for their hard work. I think I can't say anything about the questions and answers today or yesterday, but I will comment that I believe you'll see some inconsistencies in some of the responses. I brought that to the forefront this afternoon. Thank you.
I'd like to close by saying that we do intend to follow up and bring in, and I know that that's up to the chairman's discretion, but some of the co-conspirators that were given lesser sentences that were known to have trafficked young girls. Unacceptable. There's a difference between a victim and someone who engaged in prostitution and the trafficking of minors, and that needs to be clarified. I will again hold to the same thing that I said earlier, and that I do believe, and I'm sure some people on this committee also believe, that Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset and running some form of a honeypot operation. I do believe that President Clinton, as well as the secretary, were potentially targets of that operation, and we will leave it at that, and I look forward to seeing you all react to the depositions, as I think that this is information that's important and belongs to the American people.
Mr. Langworthy?
I
want to reiterate what some of my colleagues have said. I want to salute our chairman, James Comer, for putting together an extremely professional deposition these last 2 days. Factual. This was not a highly partisan event like most of our hearings are when we're in Washington. We were there to ask direct questions. I think President Clinton today was quite candid, probably more candid than his attorneys were comfortable
Correct.
With. I think that this will obviously, when we release the video of this, I mean, you'll have the opportunity to digest it. But we do have to get justice for the victims, because in all of the political food fight of Washington, D.C., what is getting lost is the fact that there are victims that deserve justice.
Depositions like this are important because we need to get answers. We need justice for the victims. Epstein and his associates committed unspeakable evil, and I'm glad that President Clinton and Hillary came out here. What I believe I saw over the last 2 days was selective memory, very good details back into the 90s, and in other times, I don't know, I don't recall. So we have more questions to answer. Thank you.
And we'll answer a couple of questions.
Yes. Can you definitely say that as a result of the former president's deposition, you now have more information that you didn't have before about his sex trafficking ring? And secondly, also as a result of the deposition, will you be opening any new investigations or new inquiries into specific individuals or institutions?
Well, we're going to bring more people in. We're not finished. We didn't want to announce names before today. It was so hard to get the Clintons in. I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize losing them. I think we learned some things. We were hoping to get more, but there were many questions, as you will see, hopefully in the next 24 hours when the videos were released, that there were a lot of very specific questions about very specific documents and correspondence that were subpoenaed by that we got from the Department of Justice, as well as the Epstein estate. Many times the Clintons couldn't recall or didn't know or denied that they were pertaining to them. So, but I do think that we picked up some new facts. We asked both Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton where we should go from here as a committee, because we're sincere about trying to get the truth to the American people and hold some bad actors accountable in this. Yes, yes.
Secretary Clinton's deposition release.
Yeah, we've got one employee that does the videography, and he had to do the videography today too. So we're going to try to release those.
An approval by the attorneys.
Yeah. Well, the transcript has to be approved by the attorney. So the video could very likely come out before the transcripts. Once the transcribers were in here, we had a whole team of transcribers. They're going to put it on paper, then both sides will get to approve the transcripts, then we'll release it. That's standard rules of deposition. We always do that. We will do that with the videos as quick as we can get them all uploaded and cleaned up, any background noise or anything like that. Then we will release them, hopefully, in the next 24 hours. Yes.
I know there's been you've been asked repeatedly about Secretary Lutnick as well. While this deposition was playing out, President Trump said that Secretary Lutnick would testify. Have you made a decision yet on whether you're going to call him in?
Well, we have a lot of questions about anyone who spent time with Epstein post-conviction, the first conviction. I think that's where, and if anyone disagrees, feel free to speak up, but I think that's where most of our concerns are. Once you knew Jeffrey Epstein was a sex offender, mm-hmm. Why did you continue a relationship? So stay tuned on that.
Why do you think today was more respectful than yesterday? Was President Clinton more cooperative?
It's respectful, focus.
Well,
we were respectful.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can watch the video and say, everybody knows President Clinton. He's got Southern people skills. He's a charming individual, obviously. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, you have said in the past that Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton were not accused of any wrongdoing connected to Jeffrey Epstein. After 2 days of asking them very tough questions in that regard, do you still feel the same way, that there's no reason to think that they're connected to any wrongdoing?
Well, they said they weren't. I guess innocent until proven guilty. We're going to go back and look at, the reason Ms. Clinton complained about being asked the same question over and over is because we presented different emails, different documents that would suggest that she was close with Epstein and Maxwell, and obviously she denied that. Now we're going to go back and verify that to see if any type of perjury was committed. Chad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. President Trump said today that he knew nothing about the Epstein files and he was exonerated. Do you agree that he is exonerated of this matter?
From all the evidence I've seen, he's been exonerated for a long time.
And would that preclude your committee, if that's your position, from your committee calling
him? Well, we'll discuss that as we move forward. Obviously, we've got more people to bring in, and we'll see if any new evidence arises. But right now, I haven't seen anything. And if anybody
just... Can I just say this? Yeah. The Epstein victims have exonerated President Trump. This is a trope that you guys are... a rabbit hole you guys are going down, but he has been exonerated over and over again by Epstein victims. We need to get all the information on co-conspirators. We still don't even have the names of all the co-conspirators because the Southern District of New York is hiding that information by redacting those names.
And so, real quick, if I can also just add into that.
If that's the case, though, you make the case, the chairman makes the case, but why it was so important to hear in great detail from both Clintons. But why it's not...
If I can just elaborate real quick.
Was on Epstein's plane 26 flights. Hold on. I mean, he had information with them for hours and hours, lots
real
of
quick,
tenders, all the things.
Chad, if I can just add in, President Clinton, and you guys will all be able to hear specifically what he said, referenced a 2002-2003 conversation of which he did not feel that President Trump had any wrongdoing in regards to Jeffrey Epstein. It's incredibly important that you guys see through the partisan nature of what has become this entire investigation. It's also important that you guys are reporting the fact that everything that we are seeing in these documents, to include what I presented to both the secretary and President Clinton, show that Epstein was running an intelligence operation. He was targeting people specifically, and he was intentionally bringing in and using women to traffic in minors and then exposing vulnerabilities for different people. What I will also say is that, like Nancy has said and the chairman, there is nothing that we are seeing where there's criminal involvement or reason to believe that the president has any wrongdoing. And that is why we are not supporting this crazy theory in bringing him into all of this. We appreciate that President Clinton said what he did. And I will say that that has probably been, I guess, the silver lining in all of this.
And I will say Secretary Clinton and President Clinton both offered, I think, suggestions, advice on where this investigation should go based on information they have, things that they've seen, experiences in their positions. And that's helpful to this entire thing. And again, this has been not partisan. We saw really great questions from the Democrat side of the Oversight Committee and the Republican side today. I was very impressed with where this went today.
Nancy, can I ask, when survivors said to you that President Trump was exonerated?
Yes.
Because they've only ever told me they want to see him questioned.
Nope, I've never heard that from a single victim.
When the committee, the Republicans and Democrats met with, what were there, five or six survivors that day? We met with 2 hours.
And
their attorneys. Of course, the Democrats asked that question numerous times to the victims, and they all said they never saw anything or heard anything that Donald Trump did wrong, never saw him on the island or anything
else.
And
if I can just add in real quickly also, there was false allegations made against President Clinton, okay? We are not going to bring in people that were making false allegations against either president. That's not what you do in this, okay? We're looking for justice, and that's why we're going to be bringing in some of the known co-conspirators that were given plea deals, okay? That's justice.
Congressman Luna, you did a great job on that today.
Thank you.
Last question, yes.
You have issues with redactions in the Southern District. Have you raised that concern to the Attorney General?
I have raised my concern with redaction to the Southern District of New York. They have a letter of the DOJ and the CIA.
My advice to the Department of Justice is release the documents and unredact the names of anyone who wasn't a victim. And I think one of the issues we have, can you be a victim and a victimizer? That's a question that we're going to talk about as we move forward. Now, we look forward to seeing you next week in Washington. We will have further announcements of where we're going with the investigation, but we have two more depositions already booked, one with Jeffrey Epstein's accountant and one with Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer. So those are forthcoming. We'll probably announce some more people we're going to bring in prior to those depositions. But I think we had a good 2 days in New York City. I appreciate the Clintons being here. Mm-hmm. Wish it wasn't so hard to get them here, but as often is the case, it was more difficult than it should have been. But thank you all for being here, and we look forward to releasing the video and the transcript as soon as possible. Thank you all.
All right, folks, so that is the House Committee Republicans following up on their deposition of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Apparently the same person filming the deposition today filmed Hillary's yesterday, so that's why Hillary's has not been posted yet, although that may be because they're waiting for Friday evening or Saturday morning, so it misses the news cycle. We don't really know, but obviously the transcripts will be released later. They have to be approved of by the lawyers on both sides. So, you know, pretty interesting. They seemed a little bit like after Hillary, it seemed like they didn't really have much, and she was very like self-satisfied with herself. And when asked about Bill Clinton's deposition being, you know, less fraught, more congenial, his answer was like, well, you know, he's got that Southern charm and he knows how to turn it on. It's just like, yeah, well, Bill Clinton's charming and Hillary Clinton isn't. That's the big difference between yesterday and today. But he basically said he'll have more questions than answers. And now there's talk from Anna Paulina Luna and others. Of course, she gave the statement earlier today, and I believe y'all played the video, saying that based on our congressional investigation, it is my professional opinion that Jeffrey Epstein was running a honeypot operation calling on four women who are considered victims of him to actually be like reclassified as co-conspirators with him and to be brought in for questioning. And there is a bit of a blurry line between these two things at times. It's the nature of the beast, and it's part of the strategy that's used. Of course, you abuse women and then you get them in on the abuse. And it's really just it's a fulfillment of or an expansion of the classic and almost ubiquitous like predator strategy of making the victim feel like it's their fault. And this is just what pedophiles do to kids, right? It's like, well, you're the one that seduced me, so really this is your fault, and you're going to get in trouble just as much as me if anybody finds out. Sickening, but that's, you know, the way that they get silence from their victims. And then that transmutes into, you already helped me once, you helped me do these other things, and, you know, you're in on it too. So, you know, why don't you gain some from it at least? And so they go from victims to co-conspirators. We still have a lot of news to cover, a lot of videos to show you. Going to be a very big final hour for this week of broadcast on InfoWars and Band.video. Please do go to thealexjonesstore.com today to keep us on air and in the fight. We have, of course, fantastic and monumental sales continually. Right now, it is BOGO subs. That's buy one, get one free supplements. Buy Ultimate Creatine Powder and you get CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies absolutely free, plus 25% off hats, t-shirts, all apparel.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.